Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by 23andMe, an online genetic analysis company that helps you understand your 23 pairs of chromosomes, your DNA. Get over 75 genetic reports today and start exploring your DNA at 23andMe.com/twit. We're running as fast as we can with our iOS devices.
And I'll show you my new favorite game, Hidden Folks, which is Where's Waldo for the iPad generation.
Awesome. And my game shows you how sometimes tearing apart can bring you together. All that and a whole lot more coming up on iOS Today. Welcome to iOS Today. I am Megan Maroney.
And I'm Nathan Olivares-Giles.
You are not Leo Laporte.
I am not. I've never been my whole life. Not a single day in my life.
But you have been doing a great job filling in for him.
Oh, well, hey, I mean, you know, those are irreplaceable shoes to fill there. That doesn't really make sense. But he's on vacation and I've been having a good time.
You didn't want to say his shoes were too big or too small or anything like that.
Yeah, I think my shoes are technically bigger. I'm a size 13, but irreplaceable shoes to fill.
Yes.
Think about that. Let that simmer. Think about it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about Leo. So, yeah, I'm excited for him to come back.
Yeah.
You know, have a good time.
Yes.
But I'm excited for him to come back.
Yeah. And so I thought we'd take this opportunity to do running apps. Leo does a lot of workouts, but running's not one of them.
He's like big on the SoulCycle and stuff right now, which actually, I have some friends who bought me a SoulCycle gift card, and they've been trying to get me in, and I'm going to have to try that out. But yeah, I like to play basketball. I like to play pickup soccer, and I like to run. Usually what I'll do is like I'll set like goals, like 5Ks, 10Ks. One of my goals this year is a half marathon.
Oh, do you have one picked out already?
Yeah, I think it's in October. It's the Lake Havasu marathon, and I won't be doing the full thing, but it's like a beautiful view, and you get to run around the lake, and it's a mixture of dirt and asphalt. So
that's nice.
Should be a challenge too. Should be fun.
So you're training for that.
Yep. And I'm actually was sidelined for a couple months. I pulled an IT band, I'm back at it now. But that's my next big goal.
Awesome. Well, I'm not currently training for anything, but I do like to run. And mostly, the app that I use the most is the activity app on my Apple Watch. Now you can run without your phone, which is great.
Yeah. That in and of itself was kind of a reason to buy the second generation Apple Watch, really, right?
Yeah.
If you're a runner.
Yes.
If you're a runner.
I usually still run with my phone just because I know you can listen to podcasts on your Apple Watch, and I know you can listen to music on your Apple Watch.
And you can Apple Pay it if you need to get a drink afterwards or something, right?
And I have the SOS, so if I, you know, run into an emergency. So I don't really need to run with my phone, but I still usually do, just because you never know when you need to take a Snapchat selfie while you're running.
And so, you know, those when your face is all red and you're all sweaty and your hair is all messed up, that's the best time to selfie.
Yes, exactly.
Really.
Yeah. So the activity app is only on the Apple Watch. It's not on the iPhone. And if you don't have an Apple Watch, you can't use it, which is unfortunate. But it does a lot of great things. Like it'll do elevation and it will, you know, it won't just do running, but it'll do walking and things like that. And it also tells you the weather. That's what I really like. So you can take a look at the activity app here if you haven't seen it. Can you see that okay? I use the watch face where I can just access it like that, and I can start
workout
right,
right
now. So I'll start an outdoor run. And you can set, let's see, all the way to the left, you can set the amount of calories that you want to burn. You can set the elapsed time that you want to run. How many miles let's run. Let's see. Let's keep going.
Ooh, you're not playing around.
You're training for a half marathon. We haven't even gotten to the half marathon yet. How much is it, 12 miles?
Try not to think about that.
I think it's
like 13 something.
Yeah, 13.2 or something
like that.
So you can do that, or you can just start an open goal, and then you just press start, And not only does it record, which is awesome, what I like too is it, so you can do your beats per minute, how many feet you've gone, your speed, and then also it shows, do you see the little guy running along?
Well, animation.
Yeah, so you know it's still tracking you.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And then it will go onto your iPhone in the workout, the activity app. So then you go to your activity app and you can see all the runs. I need to step it up a little bit. That's not, I haven't been running very much. But, and you can see, let's see. So here's one. It tells me the elevation, the distance, the average pace, my average heart rate, and then my route, which I won't, and even the humidity, 85% humidity.
Nice.
And then I could share it if I wanted to, you know, tweet it or message someone with it. I can do that too.
You say, hey, Nate, Saturday,
mm-hmm.
time to wake up.
Yep.
Look
exactly.
what I've done.
Yeah.
Where are you at, bro?
yeah. We should try to run together because podcasters who run together stay together. That's what they
say.
Is that
a saying?
Yeah, I think maybe Thomas Jefferson said that. I'm not
sure. Sounds believable to me. Sounds like something he would say.
Awesome. So what do you got?
Well, you know, I was living near Golden Gate Park for a while. I recently moved into the Lower Haight, a different neighborhood. And before, I was just kind of like running aimlessly. Like, there's so many great trails through the park. It's a really kind of fun place to live near if you're into running. And there's Kezar Stadium, which I love, which gives you a nice track to get to, and that's open to the public. This is in the San Francisco area. But sometimes, you know, if before I was really getting into apps, you'd have questions. Okay, I want to go on this path. Like, what is the distance going to be? You know, what's the route I should take? And I recently found a really great app called Footpath. And basically in here, you can just draw out any little path you want. So I just did a little loop in Golden Gate Park the other day, and you can actually see the distance. So it's just a little over a mile, and that'll actually give you a little bit of estimation on elevation as well. So that's kind of a nice way to visualize your run if you're going somewhere you haven't been before, or you're on a path and you want to switch things up a little bit. It's pretty great. Now, drawing a route is actually pretty easy. You can search for your current location, or you can go to different cities and different parts of town and check all that out. And then, let's see, I don't know where would be a good place to run in Petaluma because I just work here.
There's a nice 10-mile loop around San Antonio Road. Do you see that?
Not sure. Maybe we can.
You can really run anywhere in Petaluma.
Okay. Well, just for the sake of showing this off, let's say that this is the location I want to get to, and if it would show my little draw menu up again, I do not know why it does not. Let's see here. We'll go new route. That's what I'm doing wrong. Okay. So, well, normally there would be a little menu at the bottom and you could actually draw it and you would draw it with your finger. I don't know why it's not showing up right now, which is problematic given that I'm trying to show this off to you. But
this never happens. All apps have always worked when being
every
shown.
Single time. But if you have a route that you like and you want to share it with friends, it gives you some different options to do that via text messages, Facebook, Twitter, and email. So that's kind of a great way to visualize exactly what you're running, or even see if a path makes sense before you go out and do it. In a similar vein, there's this app called Localiki. I think I said that right. Mm-hmm. And this one's pretty great for when you're traveling or you're in a new city and you know you want to go maybe on a run or a hike or a bike ride and you don't know where to go. This will actually give you suggestions. And there are lots of different options you can have when you're searching. You can go for a specific type of distance. You can go for specific services. Look for different features like bathrooms and things like that. And then you can even find group runs to take part in. That can be anything from a runner's club to an actual organized run if you so desire. So it's kind of a nice way to remove the excuse when you're on the road or somewhere new saying, I would go for a run, but I don't really know where I'm at and all that sort of thing. So, this is a pretty interesting app and recommendation if you're looking at staying active while you're in an unfamiliar space, but also just, you know, even if you're looking for new places to run in your own city, after taking a little bit of a break due to a minor injury, this is something that's serving me well.
I like that, like you said, because you need that motivation. Like if you're on vacation and you just like, I don't know where to run, that's enough to just not.
Yeah, I always slack off. Yeah. Like whenever I'm like out of town or something. Like that. So it's good to have no excuse.
Right.
Remove that excuse for yourself.
Yeah, and I've found that sometimes, you know, if you go to like the concierge or whatever, like the, and you'll say like, is there a running path? And you know, they sometimes have it, they sometimes don't. But I'm definitely gonna use this app because. I used to not do it. Now I do it more often because I figure like I run with my phone and my watch. If I'm out there and I get totally lost, I know I can find my way back.
Yeah, definitely a plus.
All right. Well, so the other app that I use pretty often when I'm running comes with my headphones. I use the Jabra Sport Pulse Bluetooth headphones. These are they. If you want a close up look, you can see them. I've use these for about a year and I love them. They're my favorite. I've tested a ton of different Bluetooth headphones. And as I've said on this show a bunch of times, the AirPods do not work with me for running. What I probably should get is a cover that has this little ear wing, or I don't know what you call that. That's probably a name for it. Because that's, I think, how they fit in my weirdly shaped ears. But I like these too, that you just charge them under one of these things.
A little USB port or something?
Yeah, micro USB right there. Volume. You know, you can use these to talk to while you're running or not. So the app that I use comes, you know, you download separately with this. Oh, also the Jabra Sport Pulse has an in-ear heart monitor, which I really like. And I'll often use the workout app and the Jabra app, and they come up with vastly different results for my distance and my heart rate and my calories. The Jabra says I burn a lot more calories, which I like. So here's the app. Again, pretty similar. Like you can choose other activities, but you can set a distance goal or you can set a target pace if you want to have, you know, just be going at a certain pace, a certain cadence, heart rate zone training, interval training. I think you said that you do interval training a lot, so you can do that. And it talks to you, which is great.
Yeah.
The workout app won't, in your Apple Watch, won't talk to you. So this will tell you, you know, you can set the voice every mile, every 10 minutes, whatever you want. And it'll say, you know, what your distance is. And let's see if it, if you can hear its pleasant little voice. There we go.
Five, four.
Isn't she have a nice three, voice?
Yeah, pretty pleasant.
Two, one, go.
And English, maybe?
I don't know. I think so. But she's very pleasant. And she will... you can, you know, slide here and change as you're running. And let's see. Let's stop.
Workout completed. Time, 13 seconds.
Runkeeper is an app I've used.
This workout was easy for you.
Oh, good.
Nice. Yeah, because Runkeeper is an app that I've used, which has similar voice coaching. But it makes such a difference to have.
Yes.
It's, you know, back, you know, like in college and things like that, I'd run and I really didn't know what I was doing. I had no plan. I didn't really, you know, have like goals or anything. It's just like, well, I guess I should go, you know, run a couple miles a day or whatever. And that obviously gets harder to do the older you get. And having a plan, and it makes sense. And for these apps to be able to provide that kind of coach in your ear as you're doing it makes a big difference, especially with the interval training type stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I should say that you don't need to buy the headphones to use the app. You can just download the app.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
The other really great thing about this app is if you are, it will set a training plan for you. So let's say, you know, you are going to do a half marathon. It'll set a training plan and, you know, it'll tell you what to do. Like today, you're supposed to rest. It also lets you listen to music and it'll control the voice readouts like that. And let's see what's... I'll show you some of my historic runs. Let's look at April. It'll tell you your fitness level and the training effect. And where are the other? It has a pace. It'll tell you pace per like which mile you had and your best. Here, my fastest mile was my second mile. My slowest mile was my fifth mile. And you can also take your photo if you want to. Good reason to keep your phone, as I said. And your training effect, where is the, there's also a chart in here. Here to go. No, I already looked at the pace. Cadence, speed. Oh, detailed. Here's a detailed analysis of that, too. So it'll tell you what your heart rate is along the path that you run.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's Jabra Sport Pulse.
Nice, nice. It's so great that they're making that available, even if you don't use the headphones. I might give that a shot because I use the Power Beats. They're like the workout headphones, and they're pretty solid. They have a little hook that goes behind my ear, but I've never even actually tried Jabra's apps outside of when I've tested their headphones in the past.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know you could do. That was really cool. Really cool.
And then there's another one that we've mentioned on this show, or I mentioned a couple years ago on i5 for the iPhone, the show I used to do, an app that lets you give money to charity as you're running.
Yeah. There's an app called Charity Miles. It's been around for a while, and it's pretty great if you're looking for a goal and you want to get out there and do a run. You can find everything from like a 5K to a full on marathon, but these are all tied to specific charities. So, you know, Autism Speaks, Stand Up to Cancer, the ASPCA, the Alzheimer's Association, the USO. There's a ton of great causes out here. And if you just select one, you can see how much has been earned by other folks in the app. And then you can actually decide to basically run for that specific run. And it makes it easy to tell friends on how they can donate and sponsor your runs as well. So it's pretty solid. You can even join teams. So it's a really easy way to find a run to jump into if you're looking for, you know, a good cause to work toward and work for.
Mike in the chat room has pointed out maybe some of the dangers of running with headphones. So we can talk about that too. There's different kinds of headphones. They're the ones that are totally sealed and unsealed. And the sealed ones you should really just use for gym workouts. But the that way you don't have to talk to anyone in the gym, or, you know, you can just back out of here. But unsealed headphones are better for running so that you can hear cars around you and such.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
Thank you, Mike. And here's another app that I know we've talked about before.
Yeah,
and you had brought it up too. Zombies Run. So that I used it for a while, and I don't think I have it on. I tried to install it on the iPad yesterday, but in case you haven't heard of it, Zombies Run is an app that will it trains you by pretending that zombies are chasing after you.
So if you slow down, or if you're basically going the wrong direction, whatever, then you'll hear the zombies getting closer. And it'll let you know. And then there are also virtual supplies to pick up along the way. So if you're running in the game, it gives you kind of like mini goals to work toward. Now, obviously, it's going to require you to have some imagination here, but it's kind of a fun way to switch things up if you're, you know, bored with your routine. Mm-hmm. And if you are trying to make running a habit and part of your life, switching up your routine and challenging yourself in new ways is really good, because you can get too comfortable and you can kind of feel like, oh, I've done that before, same old, same old, I'm good. And so this is an interesting way to keep yourself on your toes.
Yeah, the true secret to not feeling comfortable is just imagining zombies are chasing you.
Yeah.
So Zombies Run was a crowdfunded app. That's how they got the money. I think it's been around since 2014.
Yeah, it's been around a while.
And there it is. And now they have a new app called, or a new crowdfunding project that they have, that's called RaceLink. And I thought this was really interesting because it allows charities to create their own virtual races. So basically you get all the excitement of running in like a half marathon like you are going to run in, but then you don't have the line to the bathroom, the line to the porta potty, which is the worst for me. For a race.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Do you get, well, never mind. We can ask those questions later. But sometimes I have some friends who sometimes before a run, they get a little nervous. It's kind of like a must thing to do. And it's always a bummer when you're running into those long lines.
Yes.
If only there was an app for that.
The long line. Yeah. Well, so this is great. So what the way RaceLink will work is that you a charity can set up a run, and then people can do it whenever they want, wherever they want. They just have their phones, they record it, and they raise money, and then they just send it in. I did it.
Oh, cool. So you don't actually have to show up to like the big crowded place on the day of.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like one of those things with fundraising, too, that you always wonder about, like how much money goes into actually setting up the events. I always think about that at runs because there's water and there's bananas and there's medals and there's, you know, and it's like how much of money really went to the place that we're raising money for.
That's right. Do you hold on to all your medals?
Yes.
Okay. I don't hold on to all my medals. I hold on to most of the race bibs.
Oh, like but not the medals?
A pile of bibs, but yeah, not the medals.
There is the kind of feeling of like everybody gets a medal kind of.
But I feel like a jerk when I'm like barely finishing the finish line. I'm like totally gassed and red-faced and I'm like, I don't want the medal. I don't want the medal. And they're like, what? What's wrong with you?
You just did this. You gotta take the medal.
Take this, dummy. But yeah, I sometimes don't.
So you don't?
Sometimes.
You don't take
sometimes
the medal? Not. That's. I think that probably says a lot about your psyche. Like you felt like you didn't earn it.
Ooh, wow. You're really putting it down here.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me about your
father. You're not training hard enough. Yeah. Yeah, seriously. iOS today is getting really deep.
I used to hang the medals on my wall, but now I have them hung in the closet.
Oh, cool.
I do think I would sign up for one of these like virtual charity races, but I think that, and I think this is what you meant earlier, like signing up for a race is what actually gets you to train.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is it kind of, for me, it can hold me accountable because it's like, I know I paid the money. I know I've made a promise. I'm going to show up. I'm not going to want to be out there looking like a jerk, you know? So I'm going to train. And it's a kind of a way to hold myself accountable because really this is about building habits, right? And so if you are consistent and you have something to show up for, at least for me, and it's different for every person, but at least for me and the way I know myself and my motivational structures, having something to show up for makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think you should take the medal. I think you need to run hard enough that you're going to take the medal. Because
harder and take the medal.
Yeah, those are volunteers handing out the medal. They want to do their job. That's the person you're cheating.
Oh man! Now you're making me feel guilty about it.
Well, I should have. You should have me in your ears while you're running. I think a lot of people probably do have us in their ears.
I need a Megan Maroney running app.
Yeah.
Clearly,
yeah. That's if you are listening to this while you're running, go faster and take the medal. Earn it.
Yeah, you got to earn it. Mm-hmm. Earn the burn.
Mm-hmm. Did we have any more? You talked about Runkeeper.
No, yeah. I think we've pretty much nailed all the ones I wanted to get to.
Yeah, and Runkeeper on your watch, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look, I'm still on an outdoor run, guys. Take a look at that. Look at that. I've gone 45 feet. How is that even possible? I haven't gone 45 feet. I'm just sitting in this chair.
Swinging your arms around and talking to us.
So, yeah, I am going to end my run. And, yeah, look at that. 45 feet. That isn't true. 18 minutes, 15 calories I burned by sitting here. Total calories, no pace, 73 degrees out there. Save that. And now all the people that I follow will get a little notification that I just finished a workout. Here's a question I have for you. Do you follow, do you have like activity friends or do you know?
I do have activity friends and
I'm not one of them.
They no, but we can change that. But yeah, they like to talk smack. My friend Stephanie will talk smack and she's one of my SoulCycle friends who's like trying to get me to get out there. And she's like, you know, of course you hit your goals when you set them so low. Like you need to bust up your calories. You need to bump up, you know, a number of whatever. So yeah, she keeps me honest.
What is your daily goal?
I think it's 550 for calories.
Mine's 480.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie was your friend. She'd be telling you to step up.
I do think I already like Stephanie. So let's shame some of my activity friends now. Anthony's only at 18% and he's not even
you're
working
putting
today.
People on blast.
Allison Sheridan, 68%. That's pretty good. She works out a lot. Brian, that's my dad. He's at 27%. Evan, he is at 47%. Good job, Evan. Josh, 22%, and Leo.
He's on vacation.
He's on vacation.
Hopefully he's not even wearing his watch, not even paying attention. You know, one of the reasons why I wear an Apple Watch every day is because I kind of live and die by my calendar, and I like the watch face being able to see my calendar there. But, you know, I get it. If on vacation you want to take it off, you want to go free, I can't be mad at that. Mm-hmm. I can't blame Leo for that.
He might have also like unactivity followed me or whatever.
Ooh. But then would he still show up or?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have wondered
what,
that.
What is the activity follow and unfollow etiquette?
I don't know. You should email me at megan@twit.tv if you know, because I don't know. Because with Facebook, like you unfollow someone, but you're still friends and they have no idea. But there's no way to do this. If I just started showing up as zero, people would think I was dead or I'd unfollowed them.
That did actually happen with me and a couple friends because I didn't have an Apple Watch for a while, and they're like, "What happened to you? Where'd you go?"
Mm-hmm.
But they sent a kind text, and I explained it to them. So it is what it is.
Okay.
There was a question from the chat for Footpath. They couldn't find it on the App Store. It's called Footpath Route Planner, so you can search for that specifically, and maybe they'll give you a better chance of seeing it. And someone else asked whether or not I hold on to my convention badges. Like going like as press, do you hold on to
question.
That? And no, I don't hold on to those either. I throw those away.
Yeah, I throw those away too. I did nothing to earn those.
That's your job.
Yeah.
You earn your pay.
Right.
Earn your keep.
And now at conventions they have runs at the conventions. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
At NAB there was like a 5K fun run or something, which is good. I mean, I feel like at conventions the exercise you do is walking around the floor, but I'm all for that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a break. After the break, we're going to talk about some Father's Day gifts. But first, I want to thank our sponsor for the show, 23andMe. A couple, like 3 years ago, we got a dog from a shelter. And we didn't know what kind of dog he was. They said he was a lab, lab mix. That's what every shelter says. Every pit bull is a lab mix. So they come and bring him to your home. And so we did a DNA test. And it was very cool because he was a mutt. He was pit bull, Rottweiler, Old English sheepdog, and some other German shepherd. So he has the bark like a German shepherd. So, you know, I started to thinking like, well, if I know what he is, I don't know what I am. Like, I'm kind of a mutt. I know my dad's from Lithuania. My mom is Irish English. I don't really know past. So 23andMe is a service that will tell you what kind of mutt you are based on your DNA. It can tell a lot about you. It's an online genetic analysis company named after your 23 pairs of chromosomes, your DNA, with over 75 online genetic reports in categories like ancestry, wellness, traits, and even health. You can learn more about who you are. Ancestry reports include ancestry composition, haplogroups, Neanderthal ancestry, and your DNA family. You can also use the DNA Relative Finder tool to find and connect with new relatives. Learn how your DNA influences your traits and how it relates to your caffeine consumption. I would like to know that. Muscle type, genetic weight, and more with 23andMe Wellness and Traits Report. It's good to know all of these things. 23andMe's carrier status reports meets FDA requirements, so you can find out if you are a carrier for certain inherited conditions like cystic fibrosis and hereditary hearing loss. Understand what makes you you. It's super easy, super helpful, all good information to you have for you and your future and your children and your parents. It's really good to know because, I mean, basically we're all mutts, so it's good to know. We might even have some pit bull in us. I think maybe I do. Get over 75 genetic reports and start exploring your DNA today at 23andme.com/twit. That's 23andme.com/twit. And we thank 23andMe for their support of iOS today. Father's Day is coming up, depending on when you watch this show. It is Sunday the 18th. So that might just, if you don't watch the show right when it comes out, then you might be too late.
You should know when Father's Day is. You should be planning for it.
You should be planning for it. But my first gift that I'm going to suggest, my first app-related gift for Father's Day, might not get there in time for Father's Day. But your father probably are. If you are the kind to put off these kinds of things, your dad already knows that, and he still loves you. He does.
It's true.
I mean, if he doesn't, then get him. Don't get him anything. Right?
Yeah. That's always an option.
So this is an app called Mixtiles. And I think I've shown on another show that I found this through Instagram advertising, which is very targeted, but I love it. They are tiles that you make from your photos. The first tile is not cheap. It's $49. But then after that, each additional tile is $9. Shipping is always free. I got them in just a few days. I talked to Mallory, who is their customer service person, and she said they say to allow a week. So you're out of luck if you are, if you know, even if you're watching it today. But like I said, your dad knows you if you are a procrastinator, and they send you an excellent PDF that you can print out and give him his card and say, you know me, Dad. So you just say, create a set, and like, I want to print that. I definitely want to put that on my wall.
Of course you do.
I wanted to put that one of both of us. Let's see. What else do I want? Some planes.
Yeah. There's
some pictures of planes that I took.
One of your son?
Sure. And yeah, there's them in the plane.
Very cool.
This might look good printed. And that one. And That one.
Oh, you're loading up.
I am. Okay. So then I get to review my tiles, review and adjust. So here are the tiles, what they look like when you're reviewing and adjusting them. So, you know, you could just tap it. And if I decide, I don't want that, but I definitely want this, I can adjust it. And then I feel like it would be better if it's a little bit more close up.
Yeah, you definitely need more of, what is that, a sheep? Or
I think it's a sheep because you're sheeple. This is your sheeple picture.
Okay.
I guess I can't zoom in. It's going to only let me probably zoom in until it wouldn't look good anymore.
Yeah. Probably some resolution.
I want to make it a little artier, so that's what my thing will look like. Just sort of just your
creepy Nate Sheeple from the corner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I click done, and then I can order them if I want to. And then I won't show that.
Awesome. Well, that makes it pretty easy. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
In the meantime, let's take a look at what you made.
Yes, let's take a look.
So what material are these actually printed on?
It's kind of a styrofoam-ish.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. The thing that is great is you stick them and then you can move them around. So I have gotten some already that I put on one of my son's walls, and he didn't like the way they were, and we just took them off and put them back on. So
very cool.
Here they are. Here's another photo that this was one of the pictures that one of my sons took and posted on Instagram, which is, he really understands like the fake Instagram.
Oh, so we should be giving your son the credit for the artful composition.
Well,
here.
This one, yes. This one I took.
This is you. So he gets it from his mama.
Yes.
All right.
But I also like, because it's like, it makes it look like he's just sitting around eating broccoli and drinking tea, which isn't really true, but.
What a sophisticated guy though. Just a Saturday morning. Eating a cup of broccoli.
So here's, I think this photo I might have actually taken accidentally, like the, but I still liked it.
I like it.
Here's the Smithsonian castle in DC. I took that one.
Very nice.
This is the old executive office building next door to the White House, which I took.
I like this one because it's like haunting, a little creepy, but also kind of beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
It looks like it could be like in maybe like a romantic movie, mm-hmm. but also maybe in The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
It really
mm-hmm.
depends.
And I'm sorry. Oh, here's some more. Here's the last two. This is also another building in D.C.
Nice.
Which, National Museum of Art, maybe.
Looks good in black and white, too.
Mm-hmm. And here's a picture I took of some windmills.
I don't know how close we can get, you know, with our camera here, but I was surprised in looking at how good the printed pictures look, because, you know, if you ever pinch and zoom on your Instagram photos, they look bad the closer you get to them. They're mm-hmm. muddy, they're pixelated.
Mm-hmm.
But this actually looks pretty solid when they printed it out.
They're not clay. I probably need to look up exactly what material they are, because this is like styrofoam.
And it has kind of like a paper backing there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're light, but I think that's how they stay on your wall.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you wouldn't be able to tell. On the wall, you can't tell that it's like foamy like that.
It looks like the chat room is saying bezeled foam core.
Bezeled foam
and
core.
Foam core is either the name of that or it's a new punk rock genre that I'm not familiar with.
Foam core is the stuff that you make like your kids' school projects out of.
Okay.
Okay. It's, you know, it's the new poster board.
Oh, what happened to the poster board? It's just on its way out?
Yeah, it's not as, you can't, well.
News to me, but that's, I'm a single guy.
Did you ever do the tri-fold?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And how did you get it to stand up?
I get, what did I do back in the day? I can't really remember. Yeah. I mean, it would fall down all the time. Mm-hmm.
That's what foam core is now. It just stands up on its own.
Modern innovations.
Mm-hmm. And I am going to try the app one more time. I promise you that it didn't.
Well, obviously, it didn't crash because you got these tiles.
Yeah.
And they look fantastic, but.
But you get the idea of how you make them. Mixed tiles.
Awesome. Awesome.
What are you going to get your dad for?
Well, okay. So here's the situation. Like the hypothetical scenario you threw out there, my brother and I always get my dad a gift like a couple days after. Part of it, though, and dad, if you're watching, I blame you because it's so hard to get him gifts. You always ask him what he wants. He's like, I don't want anything. And you're like, well, what do you really want? He's like, oh, I love you, son. I don't need anything. And, you know, and then at most it's like, well, just take me to dinner next time you're in town or whatever. So we always have a tough time. And part of it is if he wants something, he'll go and get it. And there's not very many things that he does want. So what my brother and I have been focusing on really like the last like year or so is building out the kind of entertainment situation in his house. We got him a 4K HDR TV for Christmas, a big TV. That was pretty exciting. And we got him an Apple TV. And now we're making some important decisions. Where do we go next? We're thinking possibly mesh Wi-Fi. Mm. I have an Eero system set up in my house, and Eero is a Twit sponsor, full disclosure. I actually had that system before coming over here to Twit, and I really enjoy it in my apartment. Now, I do live in like, you know, a four-story building, and my dad has a one-story house. Not as many Wi-Fi networks from neighbors creeping into the walls as I got going on. So I think it might even work even better in his home where he has less Wi-Fi signals to compete with. So my brother and I are talking about an Eero system, of course, doing our due diligence and looking at competitors like Google Wi-Fi and all other options that are out there. But that's kind of leading the pack right now. But we're also considering maybe going with an Apple Watch. I really, you know, love my Apple Watch. Basically, it's for like the health and fitness features and for keeping me on my schedule. And that's really what I've been using it for the most. My dad travels a lot, so productivity is top of mind for him. So considering that too, and if I do go that route, I was actually looking at different bands. I might even pick some of these up for myself. But there's a company called Southern Straps, and they make really nice, classy, like nylon bands that are available for all sorts of different watches, not just the Apple Watch. But might kind of, you know, throw in a couple of those just to sweeten the deal in getting them a watch. And right now, I'm trying to decide if we go that route between Series 1 or Series 2. Series 2 has the faster processor, and it has the water resistance. My dad's a big hiker, goes on a lot of hikes with my stepmom and their two dogs. And, you know, might get caught in a rainstorm or something like that in Colorado and Arizona where they bounce between. So I'm considering Series 2, but not totally sure because it's not like he's, you know, going swimming or something. So Series 1 might be good enough, but it's dad, you know? I mean, might just go for the nice new stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. And also, you know, they didn't announce a new Apple Watch at
WWDC.
Yeah,
we don't have a Series 3 yet. Mm-hmm. But the last 2 years, there has been a new watch every year. I'm kind of okay with Apple not announcing a Series 3 this year. If they do, I have no idea. But simply because people hold on to watches for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's not like a phone where you replace it every year, right? It's this kind of object you keep with you for longer.
At least 2 years.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, you know, if they did come out with a Series 3 and I bought my dad a Series 2, I might be a little bummed, you know, but we'll see. I mean, the Series 1 has held up pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So how many Apple Watch bands do you have?
Let's see here. I have this brown leather one that I bought from Apple. It is after the fact. And then I have a red fitness band, a black fitness band, a neon green fitness band, and then I have all the Nike bands. I'll pull those up on my browser here. And that's basically the kind of rubberized fitness band, but it has a bunch of holes in it. right here, this black and neon situation. This is what I got. But I have been looking at getting this this nice kind of, I guess they call it orbit blue, and gamma blue is the lighter blue on the inside. So this might be my next personal watch purchase.
Ooh, well. I like that.
Yeah, it's not bad. So if you see me rolling in the office in the next couple of days with this, it's $50. So not a bad price. But yeah, I guess most of the stuff that I have are fitness bands. When I'm going for something a little classier, I'm going with a leather as of now. And yeah, they hold up pretty well. And what's nice is they're swappable. So let's say I did get my dad, my brother and I, you know, get my dad the Series 2. If Series 3 comes out and we want to upgrade them, then he'll still be able to use his bands, carry those over.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Another good gift, and this is definitely a last minute that you can get right now, print it out, give it to your dad, is a gift certificate to food delivery, because your dad might be a little bit lazy and want to, whether he cooks for himself or he has a partner that cooks for him, he might want to give that partner a break and just order food delivered to him with an app. And that's, it's sort of, we talked before, I asked, do you regularly use these? And you said, no, they're expensive. And that's what I always think of as a gift. It's a good gift if it's something that they wouldn't buy
for
normally.
Themselves.
They would
yeah.
say like, oh, that's expensive to order that. But it, you know, it can be worth it when you're just like, ah, oh, I just want food from a restaurant and I want it delivered to my door. And if, you know, I haven't seen an app that will actually deliver it right to your couch so you don't even have to stand up. But if you know of one of those, that would be best. So Foodler is the one that Leo uses, and he gave this gift to his mom. He chose Foodler because it works best for where she lives. So that's the thing. It's like, I could tell you the best app, but it really depends on where you live. It's not like these are all in San Francisco and New York. They're all over the place. But Foodler isn't just where Leo's mom lives, but this one was the one he says works best. So he has a gift certificate, or he has an account set up for her,
okay,
which
great.
Is also great. If you're if you can do that for your dad, that'd be awesome. They can just order it whenever and not think about it. Or my sister uses one called Favor. I don't know if you've heard that. That's just Texas. And it's $3. That's the only $3 for delivery from anywhere.
If the ones in the Bay Area were that cheap, I'd probably use them more.
Yeah. So, I mean, you probably, yeah, it might be a little bit less expensive to live in Texas. Yeah. So that would all even out. But she really loves it. Favor only cities in Texas for now. But I'm guessing that they're trying to expand.
I'm sure.
So use it now when you only have to pay $3. There's DoorDash. That's one that a lot of people really like. Which one have you had success with?
Let's see. Well, you know, the ones that I have tried have been pretty great. Sprig went in it before they their news last year. I mean, last week. I've used DoorDash, Grubhub, Seamless. I've tried Uber Eats. I've tried a few of them. You know, mostly in due diligence for reporting purposes, but also Postmates. I think of the ones that I've tried, the one that I've used the most in the past had been Postmates. But it's been quite a while since lately I've just been calling places. Like last night I ordered Chinese food and I just called the restaurant directly. But
like in the old fashioned days,
yeah.
Like the olden days,
keeping it old school. I recently, my aunt who lives in Ontario, I hooked her up with a gift certificate for some rides on Lyft and Uber. And I was actually thinking about doing something like this for meals to help out, but so not necessarily Father's Day, but this seems like a good idea as like a gift kind of year round.
A Lyft or an Uber gift certificate also sounds like a good idea for Father's Day too. They probably make that pretty easy. Just, you know, like, thanks for driving me around my whole life, Dad. Here, let someone else drive you around.
Yeah, it's nice. It just adds it automatically into their account. And the next time they take a ride, in Lyft, you can choose if you want to use that credit or not, or if you want to pay with PayPal or your credit card. In Uber, it uses that by default.
Interesting. Finally, I have one more possible gift. I saw this on a list of recommended Father's Day gifts. And if your dad or the father in your life that you are gifting has trouble sleeping and wants to track their sleep, I would like to recommend the Sleep Shepherd hat. And I have one
You've got one.
I've got one right here, and I've been trying it out. And I'm going to, just for due diligence, as you say, I'm going to take a nap and record my sleep right here.
This is going to be an extra special episode.
Yes, this is the Sleep Shepherd Blue, and you can see what it looks like in the box. It comes with the micro USB that you charge, so you charge it. You have to charge it every day, and then you plug it in, and then you turn it on, and then you put it on your head, and you're gonna. If you're trying to impress someone while you sleep, probably this isn't the thing for you. And it plays tones in your ear that help you fall asleep. And it really worked.
You've already used this?
I have used it.
How many nights have you used it?
I've used it for 3 nights.
In a row. Wow.
It's just this weird tone that it plays. So it's great if you wear earplugs, too, for whatever. If you have a snoring partner or loud dog or whatever, it plays sounds in the ear. See, I don't know if I showed you what the insides looks like. But
no, not yet.
Let me show you this. It's these little pads that you have to make sure... make contact with your skin. So if you have long hair like me, you have to pull it back. So I'm not gonna go to that level of. But if you can, now you can see what it looks like, and I'll show you what my sleep looks like. You guys ready to see how I'm doing? I'm not actually gonna take a nap. Here's the app. And so I used it the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Somehow, what's weird is it came. With someone else's sleep information in there from 10/19. That was weird. I tried to delete it. It didn't. That was a little bit creepy. But
are you sure someone in the house didn't take a nap with them?
They might have. Someone might have actually. But that was up from October 19th, and I didn't have it then.
Oh,
I just got it.
Okay.
So here's the summary. This was Friday, June 9th. I went to bed at 10:24. I slept for 7.7 hours. I only had 4.5 quality hours. And so this shows how much time when I was awake, when I was restless, that sort of thing. And I got a score of 55. Here are my trends. Here's my log. So I, 163, I started off okay, and I just got worse as I continued to do it. And it also will offer tips. Try setting our innovative smart alarm to help ease your brain out of sleep each morning prior to your preset wake alarm. And then I earned a badge. I had 25% deep sleep. How do you feel about sleep tracking?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of an interesting space. You know, not everything is useful or comfortable to wear, but,
Do you want to try this one on?
I feel like I would try that for the sake of science.
Okay. Let's try. See if you think it's comfortable. You're going to need to adjust it because your head is slightly bigger than mine. I think.
Just slightly though. No, I think my head is huge compared to yours probably, but it is stretchy.
Yeah. It's
which is nice.
Do you think you could sleep with
it? Do I have to put this? Well, yeah, because I'm mostly a back or side sleeper. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, though, I do sleep on my stomach. And I wonder how this would hold up if I'm sleeping, you know,
on your
like,
stomach.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never sleep on. I don't understand stomach sleepers. That's weird to me.
It's weird. I'm almost always on my back or side. But every once in a while, you know, I got to switch it up. I can't explain it.
Well, you would also know. This also tells you. It knows the orientation. So it knows when you're on your stomach or... let's see. How does I?
I'm sure I look ridiculous.
No, you look fantastic. I mean, if you're, I don't know if you're.
But yeah, I'm not trying to impress anybody in the middle of the night when I'm like passed out with my mouth open. Anyways, probably you know, saliva encrusted on the side of my face. Yeah, it's fine. I think this is interesting. It's actually a lot more comfortable than I thought it would be. In just you looking at it, there's a nice kind of softer area here on the back of this. Mm-hmm. I guess which is like the little. Box for the power button or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
I have to say I was a little bit afraid about what it might be doing to my brain. But I'm sure that it has been tested.
Yeah. I'm sure. I hope so. You know, I do sometimes listen to music to go to sleep, or just to, you know, if you're having a tough time going to sleep or whatever, you might throw on an album, play some jazz, play some D'Angelo, whatever makes you happy. And I wonder, what kind of music are they pinging out?
It's just we should play it and see if I can. Let's try to go to sleep and see if I can hear it. I didn't charge it last night because I thought I would forget it, so I put it in the car. Let's see if it.
Because, you know, there are like specific, I think in Spotify and Apple Music, I believe there are like playlists, you know, with ambient sounds like beach noises and things like that, which, you know, can actually be pretty helpful on a restless night.
I'm sorry to say that I can't.
Oh, is the battery dead?
I didn't charge it. Yeah.
Nice going.
So you can't. It just sounds like. Bing.
So it's a lot of ambient noises then?
It's not music or anything. It's just sounds and
like kind of white noise kind of
sounds or something. Interesting. I don't know.
Awesome. I love that you did that. That is so cool.
Okay, so I don't love tracking my sleep. I'll just come clean. Like, I've done it with different apps, and I don't. It's just not something that I want to quantify.
Do you not find the insights valuable? Like, are they just not giving you information you can use to actually make your sleep better? Or is it more just like, I'm kind of creeped out. I don't want to, like, quantify and have data on all of my things.
All of the above.
Okay.
I don't have trouble sleeping. So maybe if I did, then this would be something that I'd want to, like, if I snore only on my back, I'd want to know tips on how to, you know, go on my side, that sort of thing. But I don't have those. But if your dad does, this might be the right gift for him. If he likes those sorts of things. I mean, there is definitely, yes, I mean, it might be creepy to some, but some like to quantify every aspect of their life. And if your dad's the quantifying type, this might be a fun gift for him.
Yeah, I think for me, it comes down to whether or not it's useful. If I can find some kind of use or benefit to it, then I'd consider the quantification. But of course, you know, you got to always be considerate of, okay, what are the privacy trade-offs here or whatever. But yeah, I do sometimes snore. So if something could say, hey, Nate, this is when you're snoring. Mm-hmm. Give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. We got one piece of feedback from Rick from China when we were talking last week about the translation. Rick says, you know, I hear a foreign language every day. When I heard about Siri translation, I saw an immediate problem. Siri only translates from English. After asking the question, how is one supposed to understand the answer other than pointing to answer where's a where question or writing a number to answer how much question, I don't see the practical use. I wish a two-way translator were built in as in Google Translate. So we were talking about, you know, they said last week that Siri would answer if you said, where is the bathroom? Mm-hmm. How do you say, where is the bathroom? In Portuguese, it would say, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would guess that those features would probably be in development or on the way. I mean, Google Translator, when it started, it was a lot more limited than it is now as well. I guess my concerns over the translation stuff is usually that the translations aren't always accurate. So even when you have one that can go back and forth, context matters and all these sorts of things, and the translations aren't always 100%. But it's nice to see all these different options progressing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Guess what time it is? It's app cap time. I feel like I already wore an app cap with my Sleep Shepherd hat.
You kind of did.
But I have.
And I gotta say, the Sleep Shepherd was fairly comfortable. It didn't seem terrible to wear
no.
at all.
So we wear caps to cover our eyes. Oh, that's great.
I feel like if Sonic the Hedgehog and Andre Agassi had a child together, that I would be that child.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this looks like.
I don't know what I feel like. The Pied Piper, I'm not sure.
Yeah, like, it's almost like a cool, like Carmen Sandiego-ish vibe I'm getting here right now.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm. We were at, what?
I was just going to say, I always get the goofy caps, and you always get the suave, smooth, stylish, fashionista caps.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
I think there's a conspiracy.
Talk
here.
To our chief hat organizer.
Is this how it works out when Leo's on the show? He always gets the goofy.
No, usually gets the suave ones, and I get the weird ones. Mm. So
the tables have turned. Yes. The tables have turned.
So we wear hats because it's AppCap, our favorite app of the week. And Nate, you go first.
All right. So I'm going to show you Hidden Folks. This is available for the iPhone, the iPad, and Apple TV as well. And it's also available if you have a PC on Steam. So basically, it kind of works almost like a new version of Where's Waldo-esque type game. Down here at the bottom, it tells you different little characters or things to look for, and then you have to interact with the world that you see in front of you to find the missing pieces here. So I'm looking for Kiki the monkey, who loves a good soft shelter. So that's a white banana, and that is not it. I was also looking for one of those. And where could Kiki be? Let's see how good I am.
Wait, and Kiki likes a soft shelter?
Yep.
So shouldn't you look inside the sheep? Is that a sheep? Or a cloud?
Well, these up here are trees.
Oh, was that Kiki? There,
yep, Kiki just fell out of the tree.
Oh.
So now we're going to go into the jungle, and you can see it gets more and more, you could say, you know, ornate or complicated or exciting and artful, depending on your adjectives. But there are really beautiful worlds here. They're all hand-drawn animations, and I think it was done by a two-person team, but it's a really charming game. And so for this one, for this man in distress, the uncomfortable seat is the least of his troubles. So you can find different characters, and you literally have to tap around the world. So here I found the man in the distress hanging
that
out
was quick.
On a log by himself. So I've full disclosure, I've actually played through a lot of these levels already, and been playing this game before. So it's really great, but it's a really, really fun game. It's kind of the thing you could play on your own to pass the time, but it's really good with friends, and kids love it too. And it really, you know, I grew up reading those. I don't know if you can call them reading, but interacting with the Where's Waldo books. And that was kind of a key part of my childhood, definitely something fun. And here you can kind of have a modern iPad, touchscreen friendly equivalent, and it's a blast.
Sandman in the chat room wants to know if it works with the Apple Pencil.
You know what? I have an Apple Pencil because this is an iPad Pro. This is the 12.9-inch, the first generation. And I love that thing, and I use it so much. And I've never used it for this app. I have mine at my desk. So, Sandman, I can't tell you. But I'll try it out, and then I will tweet my results, I guess, after the show. My Twitter handle is @NateOG.
And also, apparently, it's dogs do not like it. Grand Diggs dog does not.
Oh, sorry. So you must be watching live, and the noise is not. Yeah. Well, did not think about that. In that case, it might be a good one to play with headphones.
Right. Especially yes, if you're in a shared workspace. Also yeah. Probably a good idea.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of levels in here. There's a ton of different characters to find. It's a really, really fun and charming game. Kind of something unique. I love the black and white art style that you see here too. There's really no other apps that look quite like this.
It's called Find Folks.
It's called Hidden Folks.
Hidden Folks. Hidden Folks.
Hidden Folks.
And did you say it's $3.99?
Yeah, $3.99 on the App Store. I think it's $7.99 on Steam. And hey, you know, most apps these days are free or like a buck or something, but there's no like extra buy-in content or anything. I think it's well worth the price, given that it was just made by a couple folks. On their website, they have a Tim Cook quote. I guess he actually took a look at the app and spoke with the developers one-on-one and a visit to the country that they live in. I want to say it's Norway, but I could be wrong. Cool. But yeah, really, really fun app.
Well, my app is also a game, and it won one of the Apple's design awards that were just announced at WWDC. This is called Splitter Critters. And if you remember from the beginning of the show, I said, what can tear you apart can also bring you together.
Oh, so good.
So good. So, this is very Monument Valley-like. I've been playing a lot of my Monument Valley all weekend, so I was excited to also find this, which is it's a little bit simpler. And you slice, you got to get the guy to across the ravine, so it's helping me here. You slice, and then you move.
Oh.
And there, oops, I didn't move it close enough. Let's slice. Let's move, and there he can get to his spaceship. Isn't he cute?
Adorable.
The little blue guy, and he has a friend in the next level. There, two guys, male and female little blue dots, And so then we slice again.
And this time it's not giving you a prompt. Oh. That was just you figuring out.
No. I didn't. Oof. I gotta go back. What do I do? There we go. And then they can get to their spaceship. And if you've seen the movie Arrival, this is a lot like that, except not at all like that. This is like the G version of Arrival.
Nice.
It's fun, though, and I like these kinds of puzzles that sort of make you feel smarter. And what are you going to slice? And let's see. I don't think they actually make you smarter. I don't think there is any science that say they make you smarter, but I do think that it makes me feel like it's making me smarter. Oh, no.
Whoa.
Oh, no. What happened? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, cool. You can cut them multiple times even.
Yes. You can cut them all over the place if you want. Oh.
He was almost there. He totally blocked him.
I don't know why he didn't go through that time. Where are you going? Come back. Yeah, you can cut them all over the place. Why can't he get through there?
It's just the bump's just a little too high.
There?
I think it's
there.
Yeah, cut and then maybe go up and
I don't know how he did that, but now they're on their spaceship and they're gone. And it gets harder and harder.
I love the really mellow soundtrack. It's like calming, kind of soothing stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what do I do now? But yeah, you can cut all over the place, and that's not right.
I like how that critter's willing to go to the edge, though.
Now I've just totally messed it up. He is willing to go to the edge. I mean, that we should really take that as we should all be willing to go to the edge. I think we've gone to the edge here.
Are we at the edge of the show?
I think before we fall off the edge, we should end this game. So that game is $3.99 as well, and I really enjoy it. And you know, once you finish, I would get, if you have a limited budget on your iOS puzzle games, I would buy Monument Valley 2 first. Once you get through that, earned another $3.99 somehow, then I would buy Splitter Critters.
Nice. Yeah, Money Well Spent. Splitter Critters is great. I've bought it and played it as well.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, super fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've gotten past this level. Have you finished, gotten all the way through it?
Mm-hmm.
You have.
And Monument Valley 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
But your goal was to play Monument Valley 2 first on your iPhone and then on your iPad?
Yep.
Have you gotten through both?
Through on my phone. I'm like halfway through on my iPad. Yeah. It's kind of nice to see it on the bigger screen. I got to say, I do enjoy that. And Splitter Critters is one of those games too that works well on both. But you know, if you got the bigger screen, say go for it.
Well, when I was playing Monument Valley with my kids, I don't know if it would have been different if I was playing by myself. But there's one point where they get separated. Ro and Ida get separated. I really legitimately got scared.
I choked up.
Yeah,
it was an emotional moment. Splitter Critters and Monument Valley both. There's no dialogue. The characters aren't talking to each other. But especially with the Monument Valley 1 and 2, they tug on your heartstrings a little bit there.
They do.
Yeah, really, really great games.
I hope we tugged on your heartstrings a little bit in this last hour we've spent together. This is iOS Today. This is all we got, unless you got something else you want to say.
No, I think this is great. I think this is great. I can't wait to take off this cap. But I'm feeling good. Thank you so much for having me on. I love being on the show and love talking iOS with you.
Thank you. Well, we're going to give you a break next week because you've been filling in on all the shows and now you got to do know-how. So Jason Snell will be back. He'll be here in that chair, in Nate's chair, next week to host with me. But iOS Today, subscribe wherever you can get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, watch on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, Undercast, Sidecast,
YouTube,
Leftcast,
all
YouTube,
of
all of it. And you can always email me. I am Megan at twit.tv. I am at Megan Maroney on Twitter. And Nate is Nate OG on Twitter.
Yep.
And thank you for watching. We'll see you next week. We can throw off our hats if we want.
Throw them at the camera.
Yeah.